6, please. John 6. I want to remind our deacons that we have a deacons meeting tonight. Tonight after service, just a reminder of that. John 6. Thank you, Brother Williams, for reading to us the same miracle that we looked at last week. That's right, last week we looked at the feeding of the 5,000, but we were in Mark chapter 6. And the Lord is just, there's so much with this miracle. Remember, this miracle is found in all four of the Gospels. It is the only miracle to be found in all four of the Gospels. John usually leaves out the ones that the other men made mention of, and he lists some ones that they did not. But yet, this is the only one of the miracles of all four of the Gospels give us reference to here and teach us on. And here now we're in John chapter 6. Last week we saw that this miracle was placed, it happened in the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now John calls it the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias was a city that was named there for the Roman Caesar that was that of that time. However, it is the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, and they're both called the same thing. Sometimes we see it as the Sea of Gennesaret, another city along that lake there as well. Same place. And so it's the northeastern shore of this sea. And remember, the people had come out of the cities, and as they were watching Jesus in the boat with his disciples go north, you could see across it on a calm day. It was only 7 miles across, and they're watching that. They watched him get in the boat. They watched him go across, and they're coming out of the cities, and they're going around the sea, which is, when I say that again, it's like a big lake. It would be like a very big lake. And they called it a sea just because of the weather and the waves and the storms that came oftentimes. But on a calm day, they could be seen coming across that. And so they went around the water and met him on that northern shore there, northeastern shore. It was away from all the cities. It was outside of any close convenience. The Bible calls it in several places a desert place. Not because of the sand or the cactus or anything like that. It actually says it was grassy hills that they could sit on, but desert, not desolation, but rather just alone, loneliness, if you would. It's just out away from all the cities. And last week we looked at the place and we looked at the people. In other words, when are you resting and what is your ministry? That's what we looked at last week as we were in Mark chapter 6. Again, today, the same miracle from a different point of view. Now John's point of view. And John gives us here a focal point that we didn't get in Mark. That really you don't get in Matthew or Luke either. And he focuses on this boy and his lunch. Today, really, the focus here on the feeding of the 5,000 is the supplies. Where it came from. And notice again verse 9, if you would. Well, let's start in verse 8, please. John 6, verse 8. The Bible says, "One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" What are they? Can the Lord, let me ask you this. Can the Lord create something out of nothing? Of course he can. Of course he can. Genesis chapter 1 shows us that. Right? And God can create something out of nothing. The devil doesn't do that. He takes God's creation and manipulates it. Okay? However, God, the creator, can create something out of nothing. But most of the time in Scripture, we find that he uses things that already exist. He uses us, sinners, in which to bring miracles through oftentimes. And that is what he's doing here. We are a bunch of sinful people, and we will never compare to Almighty God, and yet he chooses to use you and I to work his perfect work. Isn't that awesome? That is wonderful. You know, I think about that. How many folks were just a part of that soul-winning process that just took place? Right? How many people, how many men and women, just within the last 20 minutes, were out back to the doors here leading somebody to Christ? Isn't that awesome? God was using individuals to not to save people, but to point the way. To point the way. And God wants to use you. He wants to use me. Here, we focus today on the supplies which come from this little boy, this lad. God, we see, uses imperfect people to carry out His perfect plans. A couple weeks ago, Easter Sunday, we looked at the scripture, and I just want to read a little bit of it from 1 Corinthians 1. It says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You follow, there's no perfect preacher ever to walk the earth except Jesus. Right? Come on now. All men are sinners, the Bible says. But God uses the foolishness of preaching. You never know what's going to come out of this mouth sometimes. And sometimes I stumble on my words and I say something dorky or whatever the case is. It's foolishness sometimes. But God chose to use the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. That's what it says. He goes on in that chapter and he says, "For ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." That's God's plan. God doesn't need the greatest ability and the biggest talent of this world to do a miracle. He doesn't need that. He can take a little boy and a tiny little lunch and he can do something amazing with it. He can do that because God does that. He told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul had some ailments about him. He had some issues that he had prayed to God over. We believe it might have been his eyesight, as the way he describes his eyes in the scripture, and as he has trouble, and oftentimes somebody else writing the letters, penning them down for him. And he prayed to God, and God said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I can still do something great, even though you are not what you think you should be." Amen. Amen. And here in John chapter 6, listen, man cannot do it by himself. He can't do it alone. Look what the passage said here, and I'm getting where we're going here. But look at John chapter 6, and look with me in verse 5. "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, why did Jesus say that? Well, it says it in the next verse. "And this he said to prove him." He was trying to see what Philip was going to say. He was trying to increase his faith a little bit. Okay? Look what it says. "And this he said to prove him," verse 6, "for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He already knew what he was going to do. All right? And verse 7, "Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." Now, what does that mean? 200 pennyworth of bread. Okay? A pennyworth was what a common man in this day made for a day's work. A day's work. If you look, and sometimes the Bible talks about it, the man went to work, they had an agreement, he come out and he paid him his penny, all right? That was a penny's worth was a what a man made to work. And Philip here is saying, wait a minute, 200 times what a man makes in a day would not be enough to feed all these people. They could only, even if they could just get a little bite, a little bit, that's what he says, just a little bit, it wouldn't be enough. What he's saying there and what Jesus, why Jesus challenged him with that was to show Philip, man can't do this. Man can't do this, but God can. But God can. It was outside their ability, but God chose to use this boy, use the disciples even still even though it was outside their ability. Today, let's notice the supplies of the miracle. Notice first here, I've already referenced them many times. Notice the source of the supplies, if you would. That's this boy. Again, verse 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? The word here for lad in the Greek is the word paiderion, and it literally means a little boy or a child. Okay, it is not a lad like we might say to one of these teenage young men down here, say, hey, lad. You know, no, that's not the proper term. Here, the Greek word is saying that it's a boy. It's a little boy. And when in the Jewish culture, a little boy, he would have been under 12 years of age. Maybe he would have been 10, maybe he would have been 8, but he is a boy along that elementary line, the age there, okay? And so that's what this Greek word that's used means. And Matthew says there was 5,000 men here, but there was also women and children. And so we know children were present. However, it never mentions his parents. It never mentions anybody with him. It just says there's a lad here. And so, just a thought there, it never mentions anybody with him. It seems to be that he's alone. You know, that's okay. God loves the little children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Come on now. Amen. Do you know in our buses ran today, and there was a lot of children that got on the buses by themselves. You know what? Praise God for that. If mom and dad entrust us to bring them to church, we'll bring them, we'll teach them the Bible. Now, unfortunately, we have to set some age limits on our bus. If not, we'd have moms and dads literally bringing their infants out and giving us to them on the bus because they want some babysitting, okay? Sometimes I drive the bus occasionally, and as I'm driving, I'm watching this little kid, and it got to climb the bus stairs on all fours. And I'm going, how old did you say that one was? How old did you say she was? Oh, she's 4. Oh, praise the Lord, 4. Okay. And there's a diaper bag coming with them. I'm like, oh man, I don't know about all this. And trying to find some babysitting. But listen now, listen. Jesus loves the little children. And we have to use caution with our ministry. I understand. You understand that. We've got to use some caution. But God takes notice to these little children. Took notice of this boy. Again, he doesn't tell us how old he is, but it's somewhere under 12, somewhere of that elementary age there. And I find it fascinating that this boy was prepared. Now, maybe this ought to be a message for next week, but just a little side note. Somebody had to help him get prepared. Think about that. Somebody had to help him get prepared. This little boy, if he's out by himself, and maybe mama packed him a lunch and he said, Mama, I want to go hear this guy speaking. Oh, everybody's going. It's just up here around the lake. Yeah, like 14 miles up and around. But hey, whatever, you know. And remember when we were kids and how far we'd go on our bikes and nobody knew where we were and there was no cell phones and all that. And, you know, if you died, somebody else had to go over to the house and knock on the door and call somebody. Anyways, moving on. Okay. And so, a different day, all right? And so, now let's not start hearing about, well, I walked up the hill both ways to school with newspapers on my feet. Amen. That's how you know we're getting old when we start saying stuff like that. Back in my day, praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you are relating to that, but I'm trying to help the young people. It's not all like that. Okay, all right, moving on. All right, but this boy was prepared. And just a side note here, what does that mean? Likely, I know I'm reading into it a little bit, but I am taking some application out of this now. Likely he had a mama or a daddy that got him ready to go see Jesus. Somebody helped him, prepared his lunch. Somebody provided for him. He's a boy. He wouldn't have been out on the ship all night long and bringing in the masses of fish and all these. Somebody helped him. Somebody prepared him. He wasn't called a lad for no reason at all. And just a thought for us, we're real good at preparing our kids for a lot of things. It's amazing how much effort and money and time that people put into preparing their children for Little League. But not to go meet Jesus. That's convicting right there. Why? Because my kids are involved in sports and we got to buy things and we got to get material and we got to practice with them and we got to do this. We got to drive them over. Jethro's playing hockey. We got to drive him over to the thing on Friday nights and all of that. Yes, I get all that. But should that be the only thing I'm preparing in my boy? I don't think so. I don't believe so. God says for me to raise my children. Listen, in the admonition, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yes, amen. I'm supposed to teach them. Prepare them to meet Jesus. My family, we pray together when we're coming to church. Getting ready to meet with the Lord. Is my heart ready to hear from God? Preparing ourselves to meet the Lord. Here first we see the source of the supplies. Second, we see the size of the supplies. Did you catch the lunch here? Did you see what it says? 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, verse 9. Now, I know some of you, you're thinking a loaf of bread. we go to a store and buy a loaf of bread. And man, that kid's, he's coming out of the store like this, loaf of bread. Barley, listen now, barley is not like wheat. Barley does not rise like that. It struggles to rise. It would not have been a big loaf of bread, a big Italian piece of bread that you're cutting. And all it wouldn't have been big and wouldn't have been long. It would have been small. Barley, listen now, barley doesn't rise like that. Barley would have been a flatter piece of bread by itself. If it wasn't mixed with anything, it would have been a flatter piece of bread, likely a thick cracker or something small, like a wafer that could fit in the pocket. That's what the Greek here is implying, is pointing to. And this is a boy by himself. It would have been a boy-sized lunch, and barley, it was the food of the poor. That was poor people's food. That's what all the research, as I was reading about it and studying a little bit on it, it said this is what that class, this is what this group of people that they were little, they lived around the lake, they lived off the lake, they weren't wealthy people, and they ate barley, and it would have been a small little maybe wafer, if you want to call it that way, something flat, a dense little piece of bread there, enough, again around the size to fit in a boy's pocket. So he had 5 of those, and he had 2 small fishes, it says. Now, the fishes part of it here would be similar to a sardine. Okay, oftentimes we're thinking, man, the big one, Brother Jordan, did I see that you caught a big fish recently? Did you have a big picture you were posting out? Okay, big one, yeah, look at this. It was this big, yeah. No. But honestly, through studying this and all of that, this boy likely would have been a little something like a sardine. Now we think of sardines in a can, packed in a can, cut up with juicy and stuff, all that. Anybody into that? No, some of you, brother Brining, you like sardines? Okay, all right, go with Brother Brining. Have a sardine today, amen. Okay, but listen, literally the Greek word here for these fishes, it's pointing to the root and all that. Means salted and prepared. So like a little sardine fish that would have been preserved with salt and dried out because of it, and they would be eaten whole. Okay? And so you're talking about 2 small whole fish here, salted with little tiny wafer, 5 little pieces of bread, flat bread that could have fit in a pocket. We're not talking about a big, massive lunch here. We're not talking about Red Riding Hood with a big basket, coming down the lane, all right? And the big bad wolf's waiting for. Okay, we're talking about a little boy with a little lunch. It's not big. Notice the size of the supplies. The Lord's not worried about what you have and how much you have. Listen now, He wants to use you anyway. He wants to use you anyway. So we've seen the source of the supplies, we've seen the size of the supplies, and last, I want you to see the surrender of the supplies. The surrender of the supplies. Now, this little boy, think about this, we've got 5,000 men, then we've got women and we have children, then we have the disciples, we have Jesus, and they're out on these grassy hills of the northern Sea of Galilee there, the northeastern part. And in Mark chapter 6, last week when we were reading in that chapter, Jesus said, find out how much food you have. He said, go and see. He did not say to Philip or to Andrew, he didn't say, you know, there's a little boy over there with a blue shirt on and you know, some of those Reebok sneakers and you know, he's got a backpack with a little thing, lunch pail, Ninja Turtles lunchbox. You know, he didn't say that. He said, go see what kind of food you got. Go and see. Go searching. Go looking. And Jesus gave opportunity here for this little boy to surrender. I want you to think about that. This little boy could have easily been lost in the crowd. He could have ducked away. You imagine the disciples coming and they're saying, hey, did anybody bring any food with them? Hey, did anybody have a lunch? Did anybody bring any bread? Has anybody got any fish? Anybody at all? Anybody bring anything? The master hath need of you. The master hath need of some food. Does anybody have anything? And this little boy could have tucked in behind of an adult and hid his lunch. Again, it says a lad, and it's a small lunch. He could have hidden. But God gave opportunity for him to step out and speak up. Now, it does not say that in the scripture, but say, Pastor, you're reading into this. But listen, think about the practical. These are not pop-up storybooks. This is the Bible. This is real life. In a big crowd, there's no way, Brother Kidwell, I sent him out over here and that he would have known what you have, what kind of Tic Tacs you got in your pocket. You follow me on this? He wouldn't have known what you ladies have in your purses when he's going through. Okay, maybe that's a new way to collect offering. Hey, coming right through the pews. What do you think? No, I'm just teasing. All right. But this boy would have had to step out and say, yeah, I've got something. He didn't have a food truck. Some of you are into that kind of thing, looking for food trucks, right? All right, little guy here with his taco truck. He's like, come on, get a churro or whatever, okay? Listen, it wouldn't have been like that. It wouldn't have been like that. It wouldn't have been open for everybody to see. I don't know, maybe you think this boy was standing on a big rock and he was eating one of those sardines? I don't know all of what was going on, but it could have been easily hidden, and this boy would have needed to surrender it. Consider that. Also think about this. He didn't just give him one fish. Andrew says, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You know what that tells us? He gave all his lunch. He said, okay, Jesus has need of this. Okay, I'll give you. Here's my lunch. Maybe he thought he wasn't going to get any back. Maybe he thought he was just feeding Jesus. Maybe he didn't know what was going on, but he was surrendered for what Jesus needed. He was surrendered to whatever the Lord wanted of him, and he gave up his lunch. Listen, Jesus doesn't have to use us. He doesn't have to. He created things from nothing. He spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says in the New Testament multiple times that it was Jesus, it was the Son of God who did that. But yet, how many times in the Scripture, and especially in the Gospels here, how many times do we see that God uses individual people to carry out His perfect plan? And what he's looking for folks to say, use me. Here's my lunch. Oh, you need something? Well, here it is. Here's my lunch. Lord, use my lunch. What happened? Not only were 5,000 people fed, but I believe that boy was fed too. You think the boy went without because when everybody else was eating? And listen now, who was it? Philip said, if we had 200 days worth of pay, we couldn't let everybody even have just a little bit. They'd just have a little. And here, every single person ate and was filled, and there was even things left over. 12 baskets full. We're talking about this boy could fit his lunch in his pockets, and yet there was 12 baskets left over. Why? Because he gave it to Jesus and said, use it however you want. Here's my lunch. You can have it. Here's my lunch. You can have it. Think about The disciples, they didn't believe it. What are these among so many? What are these among so many? They didn't believe it. But God can use small things to accomplish His will. Think about some of the evidence we have in Scripture. Remember Gideon? How many did he take? The Bible says that the host of Midian that was up against Gideon, was their camels were without number. I mean, that's how many people there were, and Gideon took 300. Why? Because God told him to. It's not in our strength, it's in God's strength. Right? Amen. It's in God's strength. Think about David and Goliath. The way the Bible describes him, he would have been 9 foot tall, trained for war. And David was just the youngest brother. Possibly a mid-teenager, maybe 16, maybe 17. The Bible doesn't say, but it definitely a young man there. I think about Jonah. And yes, Jonah had trouble surrendering at first. But when he did, the Bible says God used him to preach a revival in Nineveh that was 3 days' journey across of the city. One man surrendered and all the city turned. Even the king turned to the Lord. Wow. What could God use? I think about the different young men in here that are called to preach. I think about some of the older men in here that are able to preach and that God's using you maybe in this ministry over here, that ministry over here. Maybe it's a Friday night thing, or maybe it's a Saturday out with buses, or maybe it's this thing or the Sunday school class. Listen, God can use you. He can use you if you just let Him. If you just let Him. Some of you have been scared. You've been asked maybe to teach something or to preach something or to be involved in a ministry. And you're like, I don't know about that. God can use you. Brother Shiflett, He used you to preach a funeral. Amen. Did a great job. Let's forget about John Kidwell. He used you, brother. Amen. I'm teasing. Use both of you. Listen now. Use both of you. Listen, God did a great thing. He's using some of you men to influence teenagers and preach to them and work with them. There was a youth conference or a youth activity thing yesterday. Another church was putting on a little conference thing, and many folks went with you to help with the teenagers. God can use people. Say, well, wait, but I don't have anything. I have nothing. I can't speak. I can't sing. I can't do this. What do you want me to do, Pastor? Listen, God doesn't require any of that. Paul said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm weak in your presence. He's talking about being weak in the presence of the Corinthians. He wasn't a great orator, a great speaker, yet God used him to preach some powerful messages. Amen. An unlearned fisherman by the name of Peter. The Bible called him unlearned. The Romans of the day called him unlearned, or even the Sanhedrin did as well. And yet, God used him to preach some powerful messages where multitudes got saved. There's nothing in Scripture that says you've got to have the biggest talent and the best voice and the most ability. Actually, God prefers, what did we say, saw in 1 Corinthians? He uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. But sometimes He does use people that have a little bit of ability. Sometimes He does use people that have a little bit of talent. But the problem is when we do have a little bit of talent, we oftentimes let that go to our head and pride gets involved and we don't surrender it to God. What happens? Well, I can do something with my life. I can go do this or I can do that. And what if I've told you the story of George Beverly Shea a couple different times, that singer of old, and where he was given, offered so much money to go and make record deals and all these things if he would never sing in church again. I mean, big time money in his day. Big time money. Sometimes people have abilities. And listen, it's still our choice if we're going to use it for God or not. God wants to use you. Whether you have something that you think is a great ability or something that you don't think is a great ability, God can still use you. But He doesn't need your ability. He just needs you. Amen. Amen. I'll just brag on my boys for a minute. Can I do that? Hey, Jethro and Tucker, they preached recently right on this very platform. They're boys. They're little boys. They have no major ability, all a bunch of years of experience speaking in front of people. Tucker, that was the very first time he'd ever preached. Very first time. He's got a softer voice. He's not as loud as his other siblings. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But he's got a softer voice, okay? And he's a little bit softer of a voice, a little bit squeakier of a voice. And God still used him to preach the word. Amen. I pray my boys, I pray that Adeline too, that they'd just be surrendered and say, Lord, whatever I have, whatever I am, doesn't matter. Here I am. It's for you. And I'll be surrendered. And maybe that means that God wants them to work in the shop. And maybe that means God wants them to drive a truck or to fix cars or do this or do that. Listen, we need all that. As long as they're surrendered to God, whatever they have, they say, God, here it is. Use me. God can use them for His glory. For His glory. If we just let Him. If we just let Him. God wants to work miracles. He does. And He wants to use you to work miracles. Listen now. But oftentimes we just won't let Him. We don't believe, we don't have the faith to say, okay, Lord, use me. Sometimes what it is we let our circumstances hold us back. You don't know who I am and where I've come from. Heard that before. And we let circumstances hold us back. You don't know the story of every single person. Oh, the four guys on this platform right here. We didn't all come from the same background. We didn't all come up with the same upbringing and the same parents and the same place and the same background. Praise God for that. I praise God for that because I don't want to be from Ohio. Okay, amen. Moving on. I had to throw that in, sorry. He's excited about it. I'm glad he's excited. I'm excited that I'm not from Ohio. Okay, moving on. Okay. But listen. But I can tell you that these three men, I believe God's using me. I know God's using them. I know He is. From different backgrounds, from different situations, from different upbringings. And God's using them. Doesn't matter your circumstances if you just be willing. Today we've seen the supplies here of this miracle. We've seen the source of the supplies, the size of the supplies, and the surrender of the supplies. I ask you, are you surrendered? What does that mean, Pastor John? Are you surrendered to God? Maybe it's just your life. Lord, here I am. Use me. If you want to use me, I'm here. I like to encourage young people to just offer God a year of Bible college. Why? Just to say, Lord, here I am. In the first year of Bible college, you get a lot of Bible training, a lot of Bible classes. And it's just say, Lord, here I am, and chapel every day. Say, God, if you want me, here I am. If you want me for the ministry, here I am. And if you don't, show me. And if you don't call me to something, then I'll go on and do something else. And just give God that opportunity. I encourage that. How about the adults in here? God called Abraham when he was 75 years of age. And I look across here, and I think, I wonder, Who's God going to call to another country now? Amen. Come on. Who's God going to call today? Who's he? I think he is calling. I think he is tapping some people in the shoulders. It's not always for missions work. It's not always to be a preacher. It's not always to be an assistant or to be this thing or to be that thing. Sometimes it's just to be a door greeter or a nursery worker. Just be used in the local church. Are you surrendered? Now, as we head towards invitation, surrender starts with our pride. We've got to surrender our pride. Well, this belongs to me. No, this is my plan. No, this is what I'm going to do. And you know what? Pride will keep you out of heaven if you're not careful. No, no, I'm doing just fine. Yeah, I've been a good person. My goods outweighed my bad. I'm doing just fine. I'll be fine. Now, be careful on that, because it's not about you and it's not about your works. God said very clearly, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that saves a soul. Amen. It's not of good works. Being a preacher does not save me. Amen. Coming to church doesn't save me. Amen. And pride, we've got to surrender our pride. You know, when I was a young person, I was battling this. I was already saved, but I was battling just giving myself to the Lord. And it took a while for me to just say, you know what? It's not about me and all of what I want and what I'm dreaming of and what I'm shooting for. God can do so much greater than I ever can. And I've got to give it up. I just had to relinquish my pride to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. What is it that you're holding back from God? Oftentimes there's something being held back. What is it? Are you surrendered? Let's bow together, please. Lord, thank you for the message today. Thank you for this focus on the supplies of this miracle. And Lord, I'm just burdened of this. Lord, I believe, God, that you are calling people, even in this place, to something, Lord, to do something for you, to accomplish something, a part of your will, Lord, in this place even. To do something in this place, a part of our church. God, I pray that you'd help us, please, to be surrendered to your will, to whatever you'd have. As Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. God, I pray that you'd work in hearts right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We already had a time of sharing the gospel and inviting you to get saved, but maybe you're here and you should have gotten up the first time and went to the back. I'm going to encourage you to do that again. Just go right back to the doors and stand there if you need to get saved. And if not, maybe you're here and you are saved. Are you surrendered to the Lord? Are you surrendered? The piano's going to play. I'm going to ask.